Boy, it's good to be home. It's hot out there, but let me tell you what, after spending a week in Florida heat with Florida humidity, I'll take this any day of the year. Man, I tell you, it's a special kind of pressure cooker down there in South Florida. And we were, I guess we were mid-Florida, Orlando, mid-Florida, mid-state. But it was, man, it was brutal. We were loading up the car to come back yesterday morning, I think about 7:45, and we were sweating. It was just unreal. But I had a real good week. Went down to ICAST, second year. First year, got down there, just overwhelmed. 500,000 square feet of fishing tackle. It just, I walked through those doors and I said, oh boy, where do I begin? Thought this year would be better. I wasn't overwhelmed. The only problem is I knew so many people down there this time around, I couldn't get to what I needed to do. Had a full schedule of press conferences and seminars, and yeah, that kind of went out the door Tuesday morning before it ever opened. We got to fish the ICAST, the FLW ICAST Cup, talk a little bit about that, but got tired early in the week and just it went down there from there. But great week. Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. I'll be with you for the next hour. You can listen on 94.5 on your FM dial, live on the web at conservativetalk945.com. Hit that listen live link button on the right-hand side of the page. Or you can tune in via the free app that they have for your phone or tablet. You can find this show on Facebook, where I'll be putting up some more stuff about ICAST this week. That's Woods and Water SC on Facebook. Instagram, I got a lesson on Instagram while I was down there, which was kind of nice, I guess. At least I know I'm doing it right this time around. Hashtag Woods and Water SC Radio, and the website, woodsandwatersc.com. If you want to call in the show today, it's 877-235-9405. If you don't want to talk on the phone, we have a text line, 864-441-9572. Big news coming out of ICAST this week was the FLW released the 2016 schedule. Lake Hartwell made it. The FLW tour will be coming to Lake Hartwell, Green Pond Landing, March the 17th through the 20th. Next year, that'll be the second stop of the tour. Lake Okeechobee took the first place. And that's going to be good. We are going to do our best to be there. Of course, we'll be there one way or the other. Probably riding in a media boat most of the week, but hopefully Saturday we'll be doing a live remote from down there at the weigh-in. That'll be fun, kind of like we did at the Classic. So that'll be good. And again, I'll put up a lot of stuff on ICAST on the website. I'm going to start off. We're going to do the calendar maybe a little bit later on in the show if we have time. I've got I caught up with Anthony Gagliardi while I was there. We talked a little bit. And then since ICAST last year, I've been trying to get an interview with Shinichi Fukai. He's a Japanese angler on the FLW Tour, a really nice guy. But Shin, even though he's been here 10 or 12 years, he still has a hard time grasping English meaning sometimes. He's a little stilted. His wife needs to be there to prompt him and help him, and you'll hear it in the interview. But I finally got our interview with Shin primarily because of what happened on the Potomac River stop with Clark Winlett, which we'll talk about a little bit more after that interview. But I got those two interviews coming up today, and I'm going to give you a quick rundown of ICAST, going to give you my ICAST best of, which is nowhere close to whatever the awards went to. But I kind of go down there with the let's talk to the people, the stories that are there, and then stuff that everybody can use. So hang with me. We're going to jump right into last week. Oh, by the way, Anderson County, people down there with tourism and all that, Neil Paul from Visit Anderson, we drove down on Monday, spent all week together, practically drove back yesterday. Great guy. Y'all are lucky to have him looking out for things like the FLW Tour, the ABA, some of the other fishing events that are coming to Anderson County. Y'all are lucky to have him down there. Stand-up guy, we had a ball. Kind of reached a point going down there Monday morning where we looked at each other and said, we're going to have to talk to him for the next 8 hours. And it was funny. I plugged my phone up, and we were in one of these new cars, and it synced to the stereo and started playing my music. And, hey, we knew from that point on everything was going to be good. We had a ball, but you, Anderson County, y'all are lucky to have Neil Paul on board down there at the Visit Anderson place. Let's see, FLW ICAST Cup, it was the inaugural event, and that's where it went south because I had to get up. It was a late night, had dinner with some of the FLW people, Got up at 3 o'clock to make it down to Lake Tahoe. Hot, even at launch, it was hot. But I fished with Team Jig Skins, which is a company out of Hilton Head, South Carolina, that manufactures replacement skins for lures, jigs, and that sort of thing. You know, you have a $15 lure and you fish it for a couple of days in between either toothy critters, rocks, or you beating it on the boat. You know, the skin kind of starts coming off, you knock paint off. He's developed a way to shrink another skin on. Works really well. Chad Foster, he's a local FLW tournament angler there in St. Cloud, was our boat captain. We had Anil Kamath from Texas as the pro, and then me. And there's nothing like having Chris Jones, the FLW announcer, announcing your boat team as you idle past the launch marshals. That was pretty cool. Went back into a Jurassic Park type place on Lake Tahoe. It was really, you know, tall cypress trees and really narrow. And Chad knew there was a little freshwater runoff into this channel. They were throwing frogs. Those Florida guys are married to frogs. And that's fine because they only caught one fish and I caught two. We weighed in 5 pounds, 9 ounces, finished in 29th place out of 63, which is pretty good. About 4.5 pounds of that was mine. So I held up my end of the bargain. And they had a couple of big fish blow up in the lily pads and hydrilla and all the other grass that we were fishing on Lake Tahoe. But, you know, 5 pounds, 9, we finished 29th out of 63. And just so everybody knows here, let's see, my first official FLW thing, I lost to, Bill Dance, Cody Detweiler, and Dave East won the thing. Of course, you got to, you know, the first one in Bill Dance, that just goes together. I got beat by pros Mark Rose, JT Kenny, Scott Martin, Peter Tilaveras. But I beat Wesley Strader, Justin Lucas, David Fritz, Aaron Martins, Chad Grigsby, and Blake Smith and Scott Canterbury. So, you know, I didn't feel too bad. That's pretty good. First one. So it was just a ball. It was a ball. And then we had iCast on the water. iCast picks. My picks, they're more about the people behind the product than, you know, the companies. And they got to know what they're talking about. That's why I lost track of my time and didn't get everything done, because I was spending time talking to people. I got a real education by Troy Morrow, who's an FLW pro from Georgia. So we're going to start out with something for the bass fisherman, the Outcast Tackle 401k jig. Had to love that name, 401k jig. That's a retirement fund. He designed it. It's meant to be fished with a crayfish body. He said it's designed to tilt at 45 degrees off the bottom. He said he made it specifically for fishing our kinds of lakes where we have crayfish and these mud bottoms and all. And he had a video there of underwater. And let me tell you what, if you've ever gone and chased crayfish in a creek or a pond or around rocks or whatever, you know, they stand up, those claws come up, and they start backing away from you. If you get too close, they use that tail to kind of kick themselves backwards and it stirs up the dirt. That's exactly what this thing looked like. It was uncanny how much it looked like a real crayfish. So as far as bass fishing tackle, that's my pick. The Outcast Tackle 401k jig. It was designed by Troy Morrow here in Georgia. So, you know, if you guys like to jig fish, go pick that up. But they gave me a real education on swim jigs and football heads, and I'm not an expert, but I know a lot more than before I left. Blackstrap Industries, get ready to replace your buff. They are like farm to feet, true products of the USA, they like to say, not just gear that's made in the USA. We mill our fabric, cut and sew our garments, source packaging, and run all of our warehousing operations right here in the U.S. You can find them at Blackstrap Industries. It's a lightweight, breathable, odor-resistant, and unlike a buff and all the others, they finish the ends. You know, a buff and those, they kind of cut those ends off. And if you've worn one, they roll up on the bottom, roll down the top. Not happening with these guys. They roll those things under. It's sewn. It's made with an SPS 50 fabric. And it doesn't peel like a buff. So If you're getting into sun protection, which this time of the year we all need, I urge you to check out Blackstrap Industries. They're kind of my pick for clothing or clothing accessories, but they make arms and gloves and, of course, your buffs. And they make a lot of ski stuff, you know, head covers and all for skiing. So check them out. We got a few more. Come back and listen to Shin Fukai. Hang on. We'll be back after the break.
Just wanna live my life.
And welcome back to Woods and Water. We're going to get right back to iCast, best of, as far as I'm concerned, or things that I think everybody can use. I got a daughter who's going to Charleston Southern, actually a month from today, which is, as an adult, that's a scary thing. But, and the mosquitoes, all three of my girls, they just, mosquitoes and bugs, they, I don't know, the Southern women are just sweet. What can you say? And I knew there was going to be some stuff, things that I cast dealing with bugs, and I did find a couple. I really like one after talking to them for a while. It's Sunsect insect repellent. They've been, the military's been using them for about 15 years. They finally got approval to sell a couple of years ago to the public. It's, and I couldn't follow all the science behind it. It's like when I was talking to Dr. Dan's lip balm. They were talking about separating layers of zinc and all, and it just lost me from the beginning. But you like to hear people talk because they know the product. So Sunsect is another one. It's made in the USA, used by the military. It has an SPF 15 additive, so it's got a little bit of sun protection built into it. Says it likes, should work on other bugs besides mosquitoes like no-see-ums and chiggers. Very shortly, we're going to be doing some product testing real time, and I'll let you know if it's as good as advertised. But that's Sunsect insect repellent. That was pretty good. Kysik ice chests. Here's another one where the salesman really made the product, in my opinion. You know, you got Yeti out there, and everybody knows that. Grizzly, you've got a bunch of people who are manufacturing that type of ice chest now. But I talked to a young man. He's actually leaving his job as national sales manager to go to med school. I mean, this guy had, Jude Barber was the young man's name I talked to for more than a while about the coolers. In addition to being national sales manager for Kysik Ice Chest, he has a televised duck hunting show about Louisiana duck hunting. He had an offshore charter boat business. Just a guy with a lot going on. And let me tell you what, I'd let him operate on me and my family any day. And he ain't even started med school yet. Really good. But they, a couple of things I really liked about them. Wheels. You know, most ice chests, they may have wheels, may not have wheels. They overdo the little pads on the bottom of the ice chest. I mean, you cannot move these ice chests pulling them sideways. You lift up the wheels on, of course, the larger ones. The wheels engage at 8 degrees of lift. So you don't have to lift that thing more than a couple of inches before it rolls. The wheels are made where they don't interfere with the inside of the cooler, the drains. It has a screw-out drain and a pop-out drain plug. Those are integrated in. One of the really nice things they do, their dividers are actually ice packs. So when you throw in a divider, you don't have to throw an ice pack to it. They have divider ice packs. Really good. Integrated bottle openers on the lid. Just a really neat, and to show you how far technology has gone, they actually have a software company, and they have an app and a sensor that will tell you what the inside temperature of your cooler is. And then again, this is from a guy who runs offshore tuna trips, and you don't want to lose a tuna on the way back in or an overnight trip because the water in your cooler got too hot. So they did this app. It's on your phone, and it tells you what the inside temperature of your cooler is. And when a cooler will keep ice for 14, 15 days, you know, it's kind of important. You don't want to lose that tuna. Let's see. Let me see if I can get these in. Yeah, well, real quickly. For the fly fishermen, Rio introduced a light line fly line for fiberglass and bamboo fly rods. And fly rods have gotten to be so technical and all that a lot of people are going back to fiberglass or bamboo, if you can cough up for the price of one. And so Rio said, you know, a lot of these fly lines are too heavy for it. We needed a lighter line, so they came out with a light line. You can buy those now at fly shops and Low Country Fly Shop, Mount Pleasant. Let's go. I'm gonna save my last one. We're gonna go to an interview with Shinichi Fukai. Listen closely. iCast 2015 brings a lot of faces, as you've seen before. I'm sitting here with Shin and his wife Miyu Fukai. We met at last year's FLW Cup in Columbia. We've talked to each other several times since, but we've never had time to really sit down
and get their story, because it's an incredible story. It's one we don't think about much. So we finally here at ICAST, got a few minutes at a table before all of us are fixing to head out, and I've just got a couple simple questions for him. Listen to him, think about what he's saying, and think about how lucky we are, and also how much sportsmanship is shown in a sport that's, there's a lot of money at stake, and just listen to what he has to say from his standpoint, and then think about what you do in the same situation. So, Shin, Miyu, thank you for being here. Thank you for doing this. Tell us about growing up bass fishing in Japan and what made you want to come to the United States.
Yeah, I started fishing. I was 8 years old. My dad and my brother took me fishing. Then I knew the bass fishing born in United States. Then I want to fish in United States. That's one of my dream. Then I'm here right now. So yeah, I'm exciting all the time. Yeah, then when I came here 12 years ago, the lake size is big difference because of the size of the lakes, the big, yeah, in United States. So when I start fishing in United States, I was confused, but I learned a lot from the any country. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, I'm enjoy fishing in United States.
No traffic.
Yeah, no traffic, deer everywhere. Yeah.
Anything, Mayu?
No. Yeah, I agree with him. Okay. I agree with him.
Okay. All right, well, you've been here 12 years. Tell us what you've done in 12 years. Okay, you were confused by the size of the lakes. You had some learning to do and all, but you've had a spectacular time. Tell us what you've done in the last 12 years.
Yeah, but the first year, it was 2004, I got Angler of the Year for the FLW rookie year. Yeah, that was a surprise to me,
yeah.
Because I got Angler of the Year. But next year, I had a tough year. I got finished 100th some. But 2006, I came back because I won twice, 6 of 2. Yeah, then, yeah, I learned the lake, type of lake little bit, then.
He's still learning.
Yeah, still learning, but, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still learning.
Yeah.
Well, we all still learn our whole lives long.
Outdoor sports need to be practiced all the time. But, how can I say? 何絶対に無理って、あの、それを、perfect にするのは、だからやめられへん。
Practice sometimes makes perfect, yes. But most of time, even if you have perfect practice all 3 days and then tournament, you might have zero. Mm-hmm. That was the kind of deal of the fishing tournament or anything.
That's why I cannot quit fishing. Yeah, I always learn anytime, any minute, any second. Yeah.
Any
second difference. So that's why I cannot quit. Yeah.
Wins, I mean, you've been at it 10 years. Tell us a few wins. Have you finished and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I got Angler of the Year 2004. Then I did win the 2006, right?
Twice.
Mm-hmm. One year. Then I got PA Angler of the Year. I won FLW Series. Then I won a Bass Open last year.
Okay.
Then made a Classic. It was that was my biggest dream. Yeah, it dream come true right now. But I have another dream, so I want to make that dream.
We all have dreams, and it's good to have them. All right, we had a situation at the last FLW. That was the Potomac River, correct?
Yep.
Where, I mean, in American sportsmanship, if you grew up and you're my age, it's the way you were taught and raised to come up to be a sportsmanship. They must teach the same thing in Japan, because what you did is absolutely incredible. And I want people to hear from your standpoint what you did with the situation in Clark Winlet. Just give us a few words about what happened there.
Yeah, sometimes happen, right? But I just help each other. That's it. How can I say?
What happened?
Huh?
Explain what happened on that day.
That day? Uh-huh. Yeah, I was fishing the close to crack. Then after 2 days, he was leading. Also, he had a tough year last year because he had So I knew he still have a chance to win. So.
And he wanted to win back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His boat broke down.
Yeah. His boat broke down. Then I was thinking when I the story. I mean, how can I say?
Tell what happened.
No, he broke down. Then I just borrowed him the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he have a chance to win.
Mm-hmm. And you already made.
Yeah. Then or my goal is made the championship. Then made the TTBC next year. Yep. So yeah.
He felt like he already made it. Even if he's finished top 20, he already made the top 20, and that was his goal. Mm-hmm. So he already made it.
No, one of goal. Yeah. So yeah, that's why I borrowed him the ball.
That helped.
Yeah.
That helps mm-hmm. you to decided to loan your boat mm-hmm. to him.
Yep. And he won.
Yes. Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
After Shin saw Clark broken down, they switched boats. Clark said it took him a little while to learn how to use Shin's boat. Once he got comfortable, he went on and he won. And it was an incredible story. It was on. I posted it on our Facebook page. You can go there and read it. Just an incredible thing. Well, we finally done an interview. I appreciate both of you sitting down.
You're welcome. Yeah, you're very welcome.
We'll see you in a few short weeks at the Classic. Yes, so we're going to see each other again shortly. You fishing the FLW 2016.
Yep.
So he will be in Greenville again in March. So, but I really appreciate you coming on.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. Mayu, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate.
And when you look at FLW Tour, if you want somebody to pull for, Shin, they're fun to be around. He puts his heart into it, and he... Above all, sportsmanship is his number one goal. Thank you both, and we'll talk to you soon.
You know, it's Clark Winlet had a heart attack last year. When he says Clark Winlet had a bad year last year, he had a heart attack. And we're talking $125,000. This was Saturday of the Potomac event. Shannon made the top 20, fishing for the win. Gave his boat. Clark Winlet won $125,000, but just because Shin took his broke down boat, was towed back to the ramp. Clark fished Shin's boat. So that's true sportsmanship, people. Don't let money get in the way. Hang on through the break. We'll be back on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water. I don't know if you could hear in that little conversation with Shin, you could hear Miu in the background. And a couple of times, he just got real flustered with it, like, what do I say? How do I say that? And they'd lapse in Japanese. They're a really cute couple. we have a good time every time we get together. Glad we finally got to sit down and let you hear what it's... And what he didn't say was how accommodating and how friendly people have been in the United States to him. You know, they pretty much live in a motorhome, traveling from place to place and doing all. And he kept going on the first time over how welcome he felt when he came over here and all. And to be bass fishing here in this country was just one of his dreams of his life since he was a kid. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. We missed Anthony Gagliardi during the last two between Chickamauga and Potomac River, caught up to him as he was launching level rods, and here is that conversation.
It's ICAST 2015. Really cool thing about coming out here, seeing everybody. And this year, we're standing here in the Batson Rain Shadow Alps booth. We're leaning on the FLW Cup, and we got Anthony Gagliardi. Anthony, how are you today?
I'm doing good, thanks.
It's always incredible to come down here, but this year, Anthony, you're debuting, I guess, how many months worth of work, years worth of work right now?
Well, I mean, all my life's worth of work, I guess, but, you know, officially, it's we're coming up on a year from the, you know, the beginning stages when I decided I might want to, you know, pursue my own rod company, and today is actually what I guess I'm going to call the official launch, even though I've had some rods and sold some rods, but, you know, we're launching them today. My website's up, it's active. I turned it on last night, and so, yeah, I mean, we're underway.
We're underway, and we knew this might happen this year where his schedule and my schedule just did not sync up. We'd miss an event or an update, and we missed between Chickamauga and Potomac. Give us just a little bit, just real simply, because we're history now, on Chick and Potomac, and then lead us into the Cup.
Well, Chick, man, my memory is not so good anymore. I've already finished two or three tournaments since then, but it was a tougher tournament for me. I had a... You know, just an average practice where, you know, I found some places, didn't catch a lot of big fish. I found some places that I could get bites and had a couple places that I thought I might could catch some big ones, and it just didn't work out as well as I wanted. I lost a couple big fish that would have put me, you know, up there where I needed to be. I think I finished somewhere in the 60s, and yeah, it wasn't a fall on your face type event, but still not as good as I wanted. And so I moved, you know, we went from there rather quickly. We were up at the Potomac River or Tidal River. So, I mean, that was a different animal altogether. It's always a lot of fun going up the Potomac. The Potomac this year, it's in a little bit of a downward swing. You know, the fishing is not as good as it normally is up there. You can normally go up there and just have tremendous days, numbers-wise and size-wise. And the numbers just seem to be down a little bit. So practice was... It was kind of tough. You know, it was hard to get a bite, you know, a lot of times in practice. And guys actually caught them in a tournament a little bit better than everybody thought they would. And I did fairly well up there. Same thing happened there. I lost some fish on day one that, you know, would have put me probably up into the cut. But I still had a pretty good tournament and cashed a big check there. I think I finished 40th or somewhere around there. And, you know, and kind of wrapped up the year and put myself in, I think, 16th place maybe overall in the points, which, you know, that's fine. And, you know, it was a good year. I was kind of, you know, I had a goal, obviously, to start the year to win Angler of the Year. But, you know, I wanted to, after that, was kind of out of the question early on. I wanted to make sure I finished in the top 15 for the Texas Toyota Bass Classic invite. And, you know, so I'm one place out of that. Could possibly still receive an invite to that, but that's just icing on the cake, you know, if you make that. But it was a good year, you know, and you know, all that behind me now. We've got the Cup to look forward to at Hot Springs and Lake Ouachita. Looking forward to that. You know, I've been there. We had the championship there. I forget what year it was, but it's been a few years back, and I finished in the top 10, you know, and had a chance to win that one. You know, I was on fish to win it, and I didn't lose a lot of fish in that one, but it was one of those situations where if I'd known then what I know now, I think I could have walked away from that one, you know, with a Cup victory. And it was $1 million back then, too. But that's the one Scott Suggs won, and I'm just looking forward to getting back there. It should be a good tournament.
You know, I've talked to several guys who are fishing the Cup this year and asked them what, you know, like Brad Knight and some of the others, and, you know, what kind of lake is Ouachita? What are you going to be fishing like? And all of them say in August there's going to be a great topwater bite. What do you think?
They're probably right. There should be. Typically there, you know, the times that we've been there, the Cup's actually been there twice, and that was the case both times that we've been there. And so I don't foresee that being any different this time. You know, there could possibly be a deeper water, you know, offshore topwater bite, you know, it's, you know, somewhat like you might see at Lake Murray last year. And then there'll also be a, you know, probably decent shallow topwater bite as well. It'll be two completely different sets of fish. Almost basically you could treat them like two different species of bass. You know, the ones that you're going to catch up there shallow that time of year are just, they're bank oriented and they probably never leave that shallow water. And then you're going to have those offshore roaming, you know, type schooling fish, and and it's quite possible those never see the shoreline, you know, on that lake, because it's a deep, clear lake, a lot of, you know, a lot of submerged timber, you know, so there's a population of fish out there that I think live offshore and never come in. So, I mean, there's going to be two separate type bites going on when we get there.
You're going to try to fish both of them?
Knowing me, I probably will. I'll at least practice for both of them. It's one of those situations where you'll probably have to have something like that going on where you got more than one pattern. Because if there is indeed a decent shallow water bite, you know, be it top water or whatever, in August, that time of year, on a lake like that, doing that for 4 days is going to be tough. And so, especially since so many people might be doing that, it's going to be hard to maintain that and be consistent over the 4 days. So you're going to need something else, probably, you know, to have in your bag to go along with that if you're doing that. And so that's the way I practice. I just bounce from one technique to another, one pattern to another throughout practice. And most of the time, what I hope for is at the end of 3 days, I've got a couple places of this going on, a couple places of that going on, and that way, in case something dies, which, you know, inevitably always happens, you know, there is always a pattern that's going to fizzle out or die, I'll have something else to fall back on. And I just don't like to put all my eggs in one basket. Most of the time, like Murray, and I know what I can do, then I just do all the same thing the whole time, but I can't do that out there.
Hey, you're going to have a little break here coming up. You told me where you're going. Anybody out there, don't try to call Anthony over the next week. He will not answer the phone, and I don't blame him. But he's you're fishing some opens, and I know way back in, I guess it was in September of last year, after you won the Cup, first time you came on the show, and we were talking about the victory, how good it was, and I asked you what your favorite fishing was, and, of course, in my simple mind, I had – of course, Lake Murray, your home lake, and throwing a fluke is, but you, out of the blue, you came up with a lake in Wisconsin chasing smallmouths, and you're fishing some opens, and you said you're going to get your smallmouth fixed. So over the next couple of weeks, you're going to be fishing those opens. Once again, tell us about this smallmouth bite that everybody talks about.
It's tremendous. And we're going to two lakes that I've never been to. Well, one of them's Erie. I have been to Erie, but not in the area that we're leaving from. Sandusky is where we're leaving from, but the first tournament we're going to is Lake Oneida, you know, just north of Syracuse, and it has a mixture of both smallmouth and largemouth, but I can catch a largemouth down here, so when I go up there, I'm fishing for smallmouth. That's what I'm going to try to target, unless there just happen to be 4-pound largemouth school, and then I might bite my, you know, bite my tongue and go catch those. But I'm wanting to go up there and catch some smallies. But yeah, it's a lake I've never been to, like I said, so I'm looking forward to it. It'll be something new.
I've heard that when you're on that smallmouth bite that time of the year, you're talking 30, 40 fish a day, and you're talking, you're going through 3-pound fish, 3-pound, 3-pound, and you're looking for those fives and sixes. It's got to be fun catching, but after a while, do you get tired of just the same old 3-pound fish?
No, you really don't. You know, they're so acrobatic, and they're just so much fun to catch. I really have a blast going up there catching them. But you're right, Lou. I mean, a lot of times that's the case. The smallmouth will really tend to group up according to size. And then a lot of times if you're catching, and I don't know that this will be the case at Oneida, but, you know, some of the other places we go, like St. Clair and Champlain and places like that, you may be catching a lot of 3-pounders, and it's fun, but you probably need to leave and go look for a different place where you can catch some 3.5s or, you know, some 4s, but it's hard to do that. Now, when those 3-pounders are biting every cast, I mean, it's just hard to up and leave, but that's what you have to do a lot of times when you're smallmouth fishing. You just have to, you know, pull the plug on a spot even though they're biting and go try to catch some bigger ones.
Well, we got the Cup coming up. I guess you'll be out there for practice and all. Family going to come out with you this year, or wait until you see how you do?
They'll probably wait and see. Starting this late in August, school's already back in, and so the kids will be in school. Wife will be teaching. So, yeah, it'll probably be one of those deals where if I do well enough and make the cut, I'm sure they'll probably fly out and see me.
Well, I can't wait to get out of there. I can't wait to see if you can do it again. South Carolina's behind you. I'll be there. We'll probably try to do some live stuff on that Saturday from the water, depending on where you are. If I'm following you, I'll be out there telling people for a few minutes, this is where he is, and he's catching fish or rough there or whatever. But, look, however it comes out, it's been an incredible year for both of us. Look forward to coming years, and, hey, you know, after after the Cup, who knows what we'll do this fall.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed it a lot. You know, we had a lot of good conversations. We got to talk about the rods a lot. And by the way, the website is up and going now, levelfishingrods.com. You can get on there and check it out. Actually, I turned it on last night, and there's still some things I'm working on, some pictures I'll be uploading, but there's enough content on there and some background about me personally and my endeavor into this rod business and about the rods as well. So get on there and check it out. I'll be gone next week out of town in the islands, but if you buy a rod, I got somebody that can ship one to you.
Well, very good. And I'll tell you, people, I picked one of his rods up from him. He's gracious enough to give me one. I took it up to Canada. There wasn't much to do with the little 2-pound walleyes, but I did hook into a 40-pound pike. And let me tell you what, he took that crankbait. As soon as he took it, you kind of know when you got a big fish on. And it was a fight, but let me tell you what, it was nice. I had that rod. It's lightweight. It throws good. And I tell you what, if I can get enough together, and I hope my wife's not listening, I think I'm going to outfit my new bass rods with all levels.
Sounds good to me. I'll make you a deal.
Yeah, she's heard that before. So, well, I appreciate it, Anthony. Have fun on vacation. I'll catch up to you here before the Cup, and we'll just take it from there.
Sounds good. I look forward to it.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate that warning. Oh, me. Just a couple of good interviews. I have to make a correction. Shenandoahs will not be coming to Greenville. They're going to be going to Anderson. This tournament, unlike the Classic and unlike some of the bigger ones there, this whole event will be held in Anderson. They'll be fishing Lake Hartwell out of Green Pond Landing. Don't yet know where the weigh-in or the expo is going to be. They're still trying to get those details together, but it's all going to be in Anderson. And Neil Paul, when he was listening to that interview coming back yesterday, he said, oh, wait a minute now. We're not going to Greenville. This is going to be an Anderson deal. So had to make that correction. And also, when I was talking to Anthony, I said a 40-pound pike is a 40-inch pike. You know, small details, but you have to set the record straight. And wouldn't you know it, I got a text here from my wife, and she was listening. So, Dave, you mind if I store some rods over at your house? Or yeah. She'd find them. She's pretty good at that stuff. Detective work. That's what you have to be to find out what I bought and brought home lately. So hope you enjoyed the Anthony. We had a ball this year. And we're getting a rod from Anthony. It's going to be a listener's choice rod once he gets them up here in the next few months and gets all the ones in. He has agreed to give me a rod. He's going to sign that rod and lacquer it and clear cut it so the signature is sealed into the rod blank. And we're going to give that away on the show here after the Cup sometime this fall. So might hang on to it till Christmas. Be a good Christmas present for somebody, wouldn't it? A Your Choice level rod signed by the 2014 and maybe the 2015 Cup champion? Yeah, we'll do that one in a heartbeat. Hey, he's just been a great guy. I wanted to come back to ICAST. I didn't finish up before. Probably my pick of the show, and this is really... I mean, last year I went in and I went through the IFT, the fly fishing new products thing, and spent an hour there. I spent an hour in the new product showcase and voting on this best product and all that. And to be honest with you, I went in there for 15 minutes this year. I looked around that room. There's 40 rods over here. There's 100 hard baits, 40 new kinds of plastics. I don't know how these people decide what's the best bait. Unless out there somewhere is this world where you get free samples to go test stuff, and that's how you vote. And I walked out of there. I told the guys, I said, look, I haven't used any of this stuff. I mean, I can go by looks, but my vote's useless because I don't know what I'm looking at. I haven't tested this stuff. So my goal for the rest of ICAST was just to walk the aisles, talk to the people, and that's where I came up with the partial list you heard before. And this is probably... it might be the cheapest thing besides Dr. Dan's lip balm. This is probably the cheapest item at ICAST as far as cost goes, but probably one of the most important to any fisherman out there. And it was a booth set up, and I'm walking down, and I had just stopped at a booth that had a $150 line cutter. It's made of surgical steel for cutting braid, but you had to use your whole hand. You had to use one hand to hold it, another one to put the line in it, and it was like a plunger button. And it was really neat, really well made, $150. Three tables down, same side of the room, same side of the aisle, was this big guy standing. I mean, he's a really tall, big guy. His name of Vance Zahorski from Hutto, Texas. His product, he thought of up, he designed it, he drew the plans for it, he sold stuff to fund the production, and now it's manufactured and for sale, and it's called the Line Cutters. It's a line cutter. It's two blades. You know how the V, you go to the V sharpening sticks with the knives and you pull it through the middle? Well, this would be like having two blades, except they're on opposite sides. So you've got two cutting edges, or two sides you can cut, and it's worn like a ring. It's got a Velcro band around it, adjustable Velcro band. You wear it like a ring. I think they make kayak accessories. I think they have picked it up as standard on their seats. When you buy a seat from Native Kayak, it's got one on it. But you wear it like a ring. There, he said that when I had this need, he said I was tired of having pliers hanging from my belt, having to look for nippers that I dropped in the bottom of the boat, all that stuff. He said, I kind of went top down on my body. I said, okay, I don't want anything on my head. Don't want anything I have to have a sling for. Don't want anything hanging off my belt. And he said, I looked at my hands, and he said, you know, you're going to cut line. You're going to be tying knots and working with your hands. It'd be nice to have a line cutter right there already. So he designed this thing. It looks like a ring. And you really, he let me wear one for a little bit. And you really don't even know it's there, depending on how you adjust it. And you can turn it inside your hand if you want to, or outside your hand. But you're tying a knot. You're holding the line with one hand. You just reach across and pull it through the cutter, and it cuts. And it was so simple. But let me tell you what. If you've ever been out there and can't find your knife, scissors, pliers, or something to cut braid with, you're stuck. The beauty of this thing, it won't wear out because the blades can wear down a little bit of sharpness, but because you pull it into a gap, the line will ride down the blade and it's a progressive cut. So there's no bending of the line, no frayed ends. It just clicks it. $10. I think it retails for $9.99. Just my pick of the show. I'm sorry. I loved his story. He believed in it enough to take it from inception all the way to production and sale. You just got to love American ingenuity. It's an amazing thing. So that's kind of the ICAST recap. First cup, I'm going to do the cup next year if they do it again. FLW, big announcement for Lake Hartwell. And everybody I saw again this year, it's came home with some goodies for Christmas. We're going to have a good 4 weeks of Christmas on the show again this year. So stay tuned for that. It's all free for me, and I've got so much stuff. I love to give it away. And so some listeners out there are going to have a good Christmas. Dave's even going to have a good Christmas. Dave's here with me every Saturday. He puts up with me. He goes out and chases music for me or lifts audio for me and all that. And you know what? Peach milkshakes are good. I think you're going to like what he's getting for Christmas this year. So you have to hang on for a few months, Dave. Unless I can't stand it, just have to give it to you. But you got to take care of these people like this. Every Saturday, he's here, gets me through the show. Pep talks, tells me it's a good show afterwards, whether it was or not. You know, you got to lie to you once in a while. It's good. But we're going to have a good Christmas this year on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you'll be around for it. Got a calendar of events. We skipped it, so I've got a few things coming up. Let's see. This is the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources virtual hands-on boating safety classes. They're going to have one July the 25th, 9 to 4, right here at Cabela's, Woodruff Road. It's a unique educational tool that allows the student or whoever's taking the course to maneuver a Pioneer boat in a virtual mode where there are no other boats, no water, no risks, but yet they can experience firsthand everything they might encounter on the water and learn from it. Steering, throttle, other controls are exactly like those found on a real boat. And when you come out the other end, you have your boating safety. So that is really neat. That's July 25th, Cabela's. You can go to the DNR website and find out more. You need to pre-register for this one, I think. Yes, online registration. Saturday, July 25th, 8 o'clock a.m., a swallowtail kite outing. I'm getting more and more into this photography thing, and birding is a big thing. This is presented by the Lower Savannah River Alliance. It's the second annual outing to visit the Allendale Kite Field, a location where conflagrations of swallowtail kites and Mississippi kites can be seen. Trip includes a guided transport to the field from the Educational Center, and that's going to be in Burton, South Carolina. Yeah. Tickets, $30 per participant. Reservations are required. Space extremely limited. This is through Clemson EDU. You can find more information on their website. Got this update from Take One, Make One program. They're going to have a second wing shooting clinic. It's going to be held at the National Wild Turkey Federation, which, by the way, has an incredible shooting facility down there now. This is going to be August 12th, 2015, from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's in Edgefield County. If you wing shoot, you know it's a difficult sport to learn. You know, lead, swing, you know, learning how to use that dominant eye, and at the same time use the dominant eye, keep both eyes open. It's a lot to learn, and if you're not the greatest teacher, you can do it well yourself. This is a chance. You need to get involved in the Take One, Make One program. Those kids get to go. They learn basic safety, how to handle a shotgun, and basic wing shooting skills. They get the opportunity to clean, cook, and sample quail while they're there. Local game warden goes over the basic laws and safety while on the field, and we'll have some of the latest gear for bird hunting. No charge, lunch provided. There's only 25 slots, I believe, so you need to get in on this one. July 31st through August 2nd, something we don't cover much, is the 22nd annual PD Deer Classic. wow. And what you know, let's see. This is... it's over near Florence. Dadgum, it doesn't have where it is. But it's over... Oh, well. Google the PD Deer Classic. I'm sorry. The sheet I had printed out here does not have where it's at. Expo, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 1 to 9 on Friday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturday, and 10 to 5. It's 65,000 square feet filled with deer hunting products, accessories, tree stands, archery guns, truck accessories, outfitters, knives, taxidermy, and who knows what else. I have never been to this. I'm ashamed to say that. It was right there. It was right there, and I lost it again. Anyway, admission, $10 for adults, kids 7 to 12, $3, 6 and under, free. Free parking. So take advantage of that. I'm going to try to go this year. Sounds like it's a good thing to get ready for deer season and, you know, see what else is new out there. Also want to tell you, as you're getting ready for deer season, we're going to do another clothes drive for the Take One, Make One program. Stay tuned for details on that and where you can take your lightly used clothes you're going to replace this year and donate it to a kid that might not have anything. We're going to get those out there before the Take One, Make One program start up this year. And then those things will be available for kids who come to, you know, dress up in camouflage and be part of nature. Speaking of being part of nature, I want to pull this out right quick. This is another one of those Dr. Scott Sampson sayings. Questioning. After kids spend time outdoors, ask them what happened. What did they see, hear, and feel? What was the story of the day? Make sure the bulk of your questions are easy to answer, particularly at the start, so to build confidence. Once in a while, drop in a mystery, something you may not have the answer to that's just beyond the kids' edges. Then return to that mystery once in a while to see if they've made any progress on it. In addition to the lessons learned, asking questions shows that you value both nature and the child's experience. He's got a book out, How to Raise a Wild Child. Don't forget, nature is a contact sport. Let's see. Oh, it's hot, but don't worry, there's a story going around. Scientists say by the year 2030, the sun's going to go to sleep and we're going to have a mini ice age. So, hey, cooling, global cooling is on the way. Chuck for this week, when Chuck Norris pokes you on Facebook, your computer explodes. Hey, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget that camera. I'll see you next week.